Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone this morning to the baptism of our Lord service. Announcements today, just a reminder to the council that tomorrow night we will be meeting at 7 o'clock at the office complex. And a reminder, the charts are for the flowers are down in the hallway if somebody would like to stop by and sign up. The annual audit is scheduled for February the 7th. And January the 11th will be Pastor Anna's first day on the job here at Holly Grove. One announcement, Mr. Scott Black will be having neck surgery tomorrow at Rowan Medical Center for a bone fusion in his neck. So the family asks that you give, have your prayers for them. We have a few prayer shawls this morning.
This first one is a little late, but I guess better late than never. This is for Michael Wilson. He's had surgery a few months ago, probably now, but we want to bless this prayer shawl. I'm sure you still can use the prayers. And this one is for Donnie Parsons. He had a procedure this week. I think it was just to get his heart back in rhythm, and I understand he's home and doing fine, but I thought we'd do a prayer shawl for him. This is the close to Clemson orange that I could find, so this is for my daughter's dad, Greg Carroll. He is at UNC Chapel Hill. He has coronavirus with pneumonia, and he is not doing well at all. And so if we could all just keep him in our prayers, because it's very hard on Megan and Cameron and Abby. So we'd appreciate your prayers.
Birthdays and anniversaries for today. Happy birthday to Amy Fritz. There are no anniversaries. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up as they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Thank you. Let us join together in the words of confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Let us pray. Holy God, creator of light and giver of goodness, your voice moves over the waters. Immerse us in your grace, and transform us by your Spirit, that we may follow after your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Invite the children to come up. Good morning. I found out last week after we finished that the nice little joy sign I showed you, I never showed the people out there. And I meant to show them. So today I've got a visual aid that they can see and you can see. What's this? Baptismal font, right? Today we remember the baptism of Jesus. It's also a time we remember our own baptism. What do you think of when you think of baptism? You'll have to speak up pretty loud. When you're brought into the church, that's right. Now, when we read our gospel today in Matthew, we're going to read about John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, it says, baptized people. And he was kind of a character. No, he lived out in the wilderness. He wore strange clothes. He ate strange food. And he told people they needed to repent of their sins and come to be baptized. So when we do baptism, we think of that in relation to, or as a way of showing, repentance of sin. But baptism is important for another reason, and that's what you said. It's when we come into the church and we become part of the body. We call it the body of Christ. That's what we call the church. And that membership in the body of Christ is something we remember on the day we remember Jesus being baptized. Jesus, remember, didn't sin, right? We teach that Jesus didn't sin. So why would he be baptized by John for repentance of sins? He wouldn't be, right? Because he didn't sin. He was baptized to show that he was fulfilling God's prophecy in the Old Testament and that he was starting something new. When you're baptized, when you were baptized those years ago, you were baptized to bring you into the body of Christ. We say that the baptism is a washing away of sin, not the sins, the bad things that you may do or the mistakes you do, but the washing away of the sin we have as human beings who frequently rebel against God. And so this symbolizes washing away that sin. But it also brings us into the church, which we call the body of Christ. We're to be, you know why we call it the body of Christ? What are we supposed to be? Christ's hands and feet and voice. We're supposed to be Christ to other people. So as part of his body, we serve his hands and feet to serve God and to serve other people in the world. That we become that for Jesus. So we celebrate baptism today. You were there for a baptism I did this year, right, in somebody's house, which is not the way we normally do it. And if we didn't have all these rules about the virus, today would probably be the day we would celebrate their baptism here in church. But we can't do that still because of the virus. So someday, one day soon, with your new pastor, you should have a service once all of us can come back again, where you recognize those baptisms and celebrate those baptisms in the whole congregation so that they also feel a part of the congregation. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for the gift of baptism. Help us each day to live as your body, to be hands and feet to those in need, to be a voice for those who need to hear your love. Help us live each day as you would have us live. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for coming up.
The first reading is a reading from Genesis. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. While a wind from God swept over the face of the waters, then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The psalm is Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders, the Lord over mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf and Sharon like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord causes the oaks to whirl and strips the forest bare, and his temple all say glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. The second reading is a reading from Acts. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the interior regions and came to Ephesus, where he found some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" They replied, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Then he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" And they answered, into John's baptism. Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Altogether, there were about 12 of them. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart, and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I added those two verses at the end because I think they're important for us in understanding this gospel. This reminder of our baptism into the body of Christ seems to me an important reminder this week, especially. While we were at lunch on Wednesday, we saw the beginning of a riot in Washington on the TV. As events unfolded, they emphasized that we as a nation are divided and conflicted. That division has grown to the point over the last number of years, emphasized, I think, by the focus on identity politics, which looks at our differences, whether regional, political, ideological, the color of our skin, our sexual orientation, our educational achievements, all those differences, rather than looking at what we share in common. Those things are all important in our lives, in who we are, in understanding ourselves. But we have allowed those differences to define us so much that we've started to fear and hate people who differ with us among any of these lines. We are at a cultural place in a moment where we have to say to ourselves and to one another, are we able to differ with another person on important issues and still acknowledge that we're all Americans? I would go further and say, acknowledge that we are all human beings with value for Christians, the challenge is very clear. Do we see people who differ from us on important issues as God's children? That's what this festival of baptism is about. Our first reading goes back to the very first verses of Scripture. God looked on a world that was in chaos, and I would say that surely our nation is in the midst of chaos. And in the midst of that chaos, it said God's Spirit moved over the troubled and divided waters. And in that first act of creation, He created light. And light becomes an image which goes throughout Scripture and leads to Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Psalm 29, when we read, I think is a beautiful psalm. It may seem odd because it's basically a psalm or a song to a thunderstorm. But the writer takes us from all these images of storm, God's voice thundering and loud and shaking the earth and causes the animals to jump and leap. Lightning flashes in the sky, storm waters fall. All those things are intended to point us back to God, who is the Lord of the storm, the King of creation, the only true God. For all the beauty of the poem, and I think it's a beautiful poem, what's key is the energy and the power that are revealed in relation to God. God's power is always moving over the chaos of this world, however troubled and difficult things seem. I've long been a fan of the writer C.S. Lewis and Tolkien. Both were fantasy writers. Lewis also wrote actually science fiction. And Lewis also, of course, wrote many books about the faith as an apologist for the faith, but they were both Christians, and their Christian faith infused their fantasies with which they wrote. If any of you saw Peter Jackson's films based on Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings trilogy, you may remember when we got to the last movie, a sort of explanation of how things got to where they were. As it opens, it goes back hundreds of years, and an individual who's kind of like the hobbits named Smeagol finds the Ring of Power. And he is so consumed and obsessed with the ring that he murders his cousin so he can keep it for himself. The ring, of course, the central part of the story is that it corrupts whoever has it in their possession. And that murder was simply the beginning of Smeagol's fall into corruption. The next hundreds of years are covered in just a brief period at the opening of that movie, where lots of things are condensed. And Smeagol transforms in soul and body to the character we know from the previous movies, who will now continue in this movie, a figure called Gollum. And he spent these centuries hiding away in a cave, trying to protect this ring he calls precious so that no one can steal it. All of those things happen in that short period of time in the movie, which sets us up for this last movie where Sam and Frodo, led by Gollum, who's scheming the whole time to get the ring back, toward the one place where the ring can be destroyed, the volcano where it was created. Well, a writer I like said that he thought that was like the beginning of Mark's gospel. If you read Matthew, if you read Luke, you have stories of Jesus' birth and his childhood. If you read John, you have this magnificent entrance which traces Jesus back to the beginning. When you get to Mark, there are no angels, right? There's no story of a baby or of a young boy. Mark starts off in the wilderness with John announcing somebody's on the way and that someone is much greater than I. And he announces it while he's calling people out from the city and countryside to be baptized in repentance for their sins. And they were baptized in the Jordan confessing their sins. Now John's appearance was rough. Camel's hair, a leather belt around his waist. Camel's hair is pretty rough, by the way. Eating locusts and honey. One of my favorite old one-panel cartoons about the church, and this is from years ago, showed a preacher standing up in his pulpit wearing the gaudiest checkered coat above equally gaudy pants, with his hair way up and back his head, as the style was back then, saying, "Yes, we John the Baptists always have to stand out." Sort of the opposite extreme from John the Baptist and his simplicity. But he was there, and the people came, despite the way he appeared, despite his judgment and condemnation. And he said, "One is coming greater than me. I'm not worthy to untie his sandal." John is a servant, a slave even. And he is there not for himself or to call attention to himself, but only to point people toward Jesus, the one who is more powerful. And he goes on to say, "I've baptized you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." A preparation for Jesus' ministry. And Jesus comes, and as I mentioned to the children, it's sometimes been an issue in the church because people say, "Why was Jesus baptized?" Because he didn't sin. And he said it was necessary to fulfill all prophecy. And he begins this new ministry, this new revelation of God's love in this act of baptism. And he comes out of the water. It says the heavens are torn apart, and immediately the Spirit descended like a dove on him. Immediately the Spirit descended like a dove. And that word "immediately" expresses both time, the passage of time, but it also expresses a meaning of time that has to do with being the right time. Chronos is the time we think of, clock time. Kairos is the word that's used to mean this is the right time for this to happen. This is the opportune time. And that immediately conveys both of those senses of the passage of time. The kingdom breaks into the world in Jesus, in stories and parables and miracles and sayings and teachings. God breaks into the world in a new way. The heavens are torn apart, it says, the same word that will be used when Jesus breathes his last to describe the temple curtain being torn apart. And Jesus hears the words, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." And then I read those other two verses because that same word "immediately" is used again, because immediately after this baptism, this announcement, "You are my son, the beloved," immediately the same Spirit drives Jesus out into the wilderness. Some translations want to say "let him out" or "sent him out." "Drives" is the word. That Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness for 40 days. But in those few verses, Mark takes us across the creation of Jesus' ministry and mission in the world. No stories, no pleasant images, but these strong words describing how he's come to be, where he is, and where he will go from here. It's a day of beginnings, of new things, of a new life, marked by Jesus' baptism. The same new life that comes to us in our baptisms that we celebrate and rejoice in. A new life in God's kingdom. A life for this world and the next. This is for us a day of beginnings as a congregation. We'll install the council and officers for the coming year. Tomorrow, your new pastor begins her ministry among you. The focus will change from the focus we've had this year of trying to keep things going in this interim period in the midst of a pandemic. The vaccines have begun to be released, and hopefully in the coming weeks, or at least over the coming months, we'll reach a point that you can return to some sense of normalcy as a congregation in worship and celebration and fellowship. The focus moves from the present and the past to the future as this council and your new pastor seek to focus you on the future and what you can become and be as a congregation. Challenges still await. It will be time before the vaccine is widely distributed enough. And make no mistake, this vaccine is miraculous in that it's less than a year since the virus was even discovered. And we have a vaccine. Compare that to the decades spent on developing some vaccines in the past. And this miracle offers hope to some return to normalcy. And you have a challenge in front of you to grasp hold of that change and envision your future as a congregation and become all that you can be in this community and in your lives, serving Christ and serving your neighbor. Celebrate. Rejoice in the newness to come. And pray that as a nation, we can find out of all the troubles of the last two decades and the division, some sense of unity and a better future as a nation. But a key to doing that is that we as individuals, in our hearts, focus on who we are in Christ and who we're called to be in Christ. And recognize that for all the differences among us, we are one creation, all children of God. From the beginning in Genesis, when God breathed life into the earth, having formed it into humans, to the unity we have in Christ in the waters of baptism, and we're called to live that out. Recognizing our differences, believing in the things we think are important and working to achieve those, but with respect for others who differ from us. Your new pastor comes in. I've looked at the list of pastors on the back wall in the fellowship hall. Over these decades, you've had all different ages. You've had young pastors fresh from seminary and old guys who've been around for a while. They all answered a call to serve Christ. They're all different. They all bring gifts and they all have limitations. None are perfect. As Pastor Anna comes to you, welcome her. Pray for her. Encourage her. Help her. Share with her what you need from her, what you expect from her, and help her to accomplish her goal to serve you and serve God in this community. I am excited for you. I have enjoyed being among you. I regret that it was nothing like I had expected it to be. And I had so little opportunity to get to know you before everything sort of went south. But I have enjoyed being with you and being able to get to know those of you whom I have known. I will miss you. I pray that you find in the coming months and years a strong ministry with your new pastor, a faithful witness in this community, that you continue to nurture and encourage your children and grandchildren in the faith for the sake of Christ, for the sake of the world. Never forget that God loves you, and so do I. Amen.
Let us confess what we believe with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He has ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Time now for the installation of our council with all the limitations of the season. I invite the congregation to be seated. I'll ask you to stand again in a moment. And all those who are to be installed, if you will stand at this time. I'll invite Lynn to come forward. And introduce everybody who's standing to the congregation. One last thing we're doing different. Yeah, you can use the mic if you want to. Well, everybody that's here, okay. Yeah.
All right, the council members that we have here now, we've got Judy Thomason, Sherry Proctor, David Brown, which is new and coming on to the council, Robert Neapolitano, I can't say his name, close, he's a new member of the council, Marie Palmer, Michael Wilson, Norris Feeney, he's a new member, Neil Clark will also be a new member, and Chip Blower is a current member.
These people have been elected to positions of leadership. We give thanks for their willingness to serve. In baptism, we are welcomed into the body of Christ and sent to share in the mission of God. We rejoice now that these sisters and brothers will lead us in our common life and our mutual mission as a congregation. A reading from 1 Corinthians. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. You have been elected to positions of leadership and trust in this congregation. You are to see that the words and deeds of this household of faith bear witness to God, who gathers us into one together with the whole church. You are to seek to involve all members of this congregation in worship, learning, witness, service, and support, so that the mission of Christ is carried out in this congregation, in the wider church, in this community, and in the whole world. You are to be faithful in your specific area of serving, that the Spirit who empowers you may be glorified. You are to be examples of faith, active in love, fostering peace, harmony, and mutual understanding in this congregation. On behalf of your sisters and brothers in Christ, I ask you, will you accept and faithfully carry out the duties of the offices to which you have been elected? If so, answer, I will, and I ask God to help me. I invite the rest of the congregation to stand at this time. People of God, I ask you, will you support these, your elected leaders, and will you share in the mutual ministry that Christ has given to all who are baptized? If so, answer, we will, and we ask God to help us. I now declare you installed as officers and council members of this congregation. Almighty God, bless you and direct your days and your deeds in peace, that you may be faithful servants of Christ. Amen. And we will continue with prayers of the church at this time. Three that will be listed. You've already heard the mention of Donnie Parsons, who's at home following recovery. We also certainly want to remember Greg Carroll and want to add the family of Jack Frank. With gratitude for the gift of Christ, let us draw near to God in prayer, asking mercy for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Most holy God, give us ears to hear your voice thundering amid the floodwaters of this world. Give us lips to cry glory to you. Give us hearts to love you above all things. Give us faith to trust you in all things. Lord, in your mercy. Fill the church with your glory. Provide it with pastors, bishops, and theologians who teach and admonish your people in all wisdom. Make it faithful in proclaiming your promise of salvation to those who do not know you. Let it rejoice when many are joined to the body of Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Let your word resound in this congregation. Let us delight in, study, and proclaim your mighty works of salvation. Clothe us with love, binding us together in harmony. Let our lives display your redeeming power. Help us to draw our neighbors, friends, and families to deeper faith in your dear Son. Conform our lives to the image of Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, on this day, as we recall the new beginnings in our scripture readings, especially the gift of baptism, we give you thanks for those who were installed as our leaders for the coming year, and for Pastor Anna, who will begin her call with us tomorrow. We ask you to watch over and guide them in their service and use them to lead us faithfully into the future. Lord, in your mercy. Bless grandparents, parents, and all who share with our children the joy of knowing you. Let them cradle little ones in your love and goodness. Pour your spirit upon those who waver between doubt and faith, despair and hope, rebellion and repentance. Nudge them in the direction of faith and help us walk with them on that path. Lord, in your mercy. Let your word shape the minds, hearts, and wills of our elected and appointed leaders, especially our President Donald, our Governor Roy, and our President-elect Joe, as well as all who make, administer, and judge our laws. Fill all of us with your spirit of wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and fear of you, and joy in your presence. Banish those things which lead to division, hatred, and suffering. Speak your word of peace to us all. Lord, in your mercy. Angels proclaimed your peace and goodwill, but many evils still trouble the world. Shield and guide all who risk their lives on behalf of others. Prosper all they do that conforms to your will. Give their loved ones hope and patience and comfort. Bring healing and comfort to those who are wounded, and redemption to those who are fallen. Establish your peace among us, that weapons of war will one day be fashioned into instruments of your peace. Bestow upon all peoples the blessings of food, shelter, health, employment, justice, and peace. Lord, in your mercy. Let your living word bring health, wholeness, and hope to all who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Especially we remember Burnett, Gary, Aldeen, Teresa, Jean, Libby, Barbara, Bill, Harold, Scott, Kara, Michael, Neil, Steve, Keely, Brent, and baby Bryce, Greg, Carol, Donnie Parsons, Kenneth, Charlotte, Lynn, Eva Ray, David, Pauline, Jeff, Curtis, Joanne, Randy, Brian and Shelley, Bobby, all those who are in service here and around the world, those unemployed and looking for work. Bless all who minister to them and let the radiance of Jesus' love gladden their hearts. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your faithful servants who have gone before us. Especially this day, we remember Jack Frank and his family. Give comfort and strength to all who grieve. While we walk the pilgrim path of life, grant that your dear Son would dwell in us richly, filling us with peace, love, forgiveness, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience until our own earthly journey ends. Lord, in your mercy, graciously hear and generously answer our prayers and petitions, merciful God, as may be best for us and to your greater glory, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Let us pray. Praise and thanks to you, Holy God, for your word. You made all things. You spoke light into darkness, called forth beauty from chaos, and brought life into being. For your word of life, O God, we give you thanks and praise. By your word, you called your people Israel to tell of your wonderful gifts: freedom from captivity, water on the desert journey, a pathway home from exile, wisdom for life with you. For your word of life, O God, we give you thanks and praise. Through Jesus, your word made flesh, you speak to us and call us to witness. Forgiveness through the cross, life to those entombed by death, the way of your self-giving love. For your word of life, O God, we give you thanks and praise. Send your spirit of truth, O God, rekindle your gifts within us. Renew our faith, increase our hope, and deepen our love for the sake of a world in need. Faithful to your word, O God, draw near to all who call on you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory forever. Amen. Let us pray as our Father taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Please follow along on page 7 of your bulletin. Pastor Talent, on January the 19th, 2020, I had the great pleasure of installing you as our interim minister. We called you to be our interim pastor, to proclaim God's word, to baptize new members into the Church of Jesus Christ, to announce God's forgiveness to us, and to preside at our celebrations of the Lord's Supper. With the gospel, we have been challenged to live lives of service. With the gospel, we have comforted us in times of sickness and trouble, and at the death of our loved ones. Sharing our joys and our sorrows, you have been important to our life together in the Church of Jesus Christ and in our service to this community. Pastor Talent, we are sending you. You have been in our midst for this past year. You have been part of this church family, sharing your gifts for the sake of Christ's mission in our community. You have learned and grown here, even as you have taught us to do the same. We are proud to send you with our blessing. Please stand to receive our prayers. Gracious God, you have called us in our baptism to be your servants. You have enabled us to respond to your call as a community of believers. Thank you for the partnership in the gospel we have enjoyed with Pastor Talent. Now send him forth to continue his work in another congregation and community. Strengthen him for the mission you have placed before him. And may he go from here knowing our love and our continuing partnership. In Jesus' name, amen. When we end our worship, we often hear, "Go in peace, serve the Lord." Today we speak it to you.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Now we'll repeat our mission statement as a community of... I forgot it. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.